everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The possibility the Cowboys don't know what they're doing, or that we don't know what we're doing. Plus, the inspiration for a bold comeback, Godsley Rocktopus, and the playoffs. Let's go. There's the paddle. That's the paddle I want to see today.
Let's go. Let's go.
Godsley Rocktopus sounds like a fan.
We're so inspired.
The TV show Dope after Killer Tofu. All right, let's start with the Titans-Patriots. How we got here. The most mind-numbing loss in the Belichick-Brady era. After the worst finish to a season in the Brady-Belichick era. And the last time the Titans and Patriots met last season, Tennessee rolled 34-10. Most lopsided loss in the Brady-Belichick era, at least in the last five seasons. So, let's see the national panel here. Frank Isola, I start with you. What does it all add up to? Does anybody here have the guillotines to pick against the Pats in a home playoff game?
Oh, I'm not going there just yet. You know, it's amazing. They actually finished one more win this year than they did last season. But the way that they played against Miami, and I get it. Tom Brady's not himself. His elbow could be hurting him. He still put them in position. They were right there for a bye week and a home playoff game the following week. It was the defense that let them down. So if they can't stop Derrick Henry and then Ryan Tannehill in play action, they're going to be in trouble. I still think they'll find a way.
Sarah Spain?
I don't think I have Quiones, period, I don't think. But either
it's way, not Quiones,
I'm not
but that's
quite
okay.
ready to go there. Here's why. Not because of all the reasons that I would like to give the Titans the nod, which is that they're playing better right now and that Vrabel is a guy who has proved that he can actually beat his mentor in Belichick. But because of this, New England is 11-0 against quarterbacks in their first postseason game, and Ryan Tannehill is 0-6 on the road at New England. Those are statistics that I just can't get past because I think even though Brady's fault and things don't look as good for New England, the institutional knowledge and the experience of their postseason wins are going to get them through in a tight one. Also, the field goal kicker for the Titans hasn't had to take a field goal yet this season. He's their fourth kicker. So if it comes down to a close game, that pressure in New England?
Okay. All right. So you're still with the Patriots. How about you, Tim Kalishaw?
You know, I don't even think it takes that word that you're throwing around to pick against the Patriots here. I think it takes logic. You don't have to be wearing Titan blue. You don't have to be president of the Ryan Tannehill fan club, but some of us are. And all, yeah, he's had a little trouble in Foxborough, okay? He's 0-6 in Foxborough. That's with a different team. That's a different era. I just don't think the Patriots have enough at this point on either side. And Frank said the defense is what let him down at the end of the season, and that's all they were riding when they were going undefeated for a while. So I don't think they can really stop Tennessee, and I certainly don't believe they can score enough points to win the game.
How about that? Tim Kalishaw making a bold but not so bold prediction. We're all acting surprised. Clint Yates, how about you?
I do have the stones to pick the Titans, and it's very simple. It's not because Vrabel has some big trick up his sleeve knowing anything about the Patriots. It's because A.J. Brown is the rookie of the month. Tannehill is the player of the month offensively, and we all know what Henry can do. Henry is a hoss and a half, and he does most of his work in the second half. The reason that the Patriots are going to lose this game is because getting him on the ground is going to be impossible. Yards after contact for him is where he thrives, and I just don't think that I think that the way the Titans are going to do this is playing keep away. Keep the ball away from them, run it down their throats, and give yourself a shot.
Frank, you've got New England in this game. Where does New England win this game?
Well, I think Tom Brady has got to play a lot better. Can they protect Tom Brady? Because once he's under pressure, he gets rid of the ball too quickly. All of his passes are short passes. Can you give him enough time to throw down the field? But let's face it, they started the season with Antonio Brown. Everyone's looking at this offense. Yeah, without Gronkowski, they could still be dynamite. They have not been
right.
Dynamite.
Everything you're saying, you're picking the Patriots, and everything that comes out of your mouth is, you know, this is a big problem. They're really struggling here.
I think experience, grit, and toughness somehow.
Grit,
will come
there we go. There it is. We grit. Got it. We've got some grit. Okay. Sarah Scream, same question to you. You got the Patriots this game. How will they win this game?
I think it's going to be presence. It's going to be ability to play clean. Listen, you can't underestimate that in the postseason level. I think this will be a very close game. I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans win, but I think when it comes down to it, expecting Ryan Tannehill and that team to complete 67% of their red zone trips into touchdowns at the postseason level in Foxborough with the excellence that they've had, that's a big ask. There's a lot of pressure to go into there and try to win.
That's what I said.
I just appreciate your presence. Tim Kalishaw, you want to respond to anything you heard from your cohort?
I'm just happy to be riding with my man Clinton Yates. He's got his hoss and a half in the back. Yeah. He is ready for this game. Here we go.
Yes.
Here we go.
Real quick, for you, Clinton and Tim, if you're predicting a Patriots loss, are you predicting the end? Could it be possible this is the last for Brady, the last for Belichick? Clinton, you want to address that real quick?
I do, and I don't hate this storyline. I think a lot of people are looking at this as if they want Brady out of New England because of some eternal hatred overall. But Joe Montana went to the Chiefs. He went to the playoffs. There's a very real situation in which Brady could go to another team, and it could be a fun little thing for the end of his career, and I don't mind that as somebody watching this league. I would like to
see. Don't think he wants to go out this way. One more try with New England, even if it fails this weekend.
We'll move on. Bills, Texans. Let me hear the music. Woo! This is the Saturday 4:30 game. There's never been a more Saturday 4:30 game than Bills-Texans. You people have refused to give credit to either of these teams this year, so maybe now you will, maybe you won't. Let's see. Sarah Spain, who's got the advantage going in? Who's the better team? Who do you have more faith in? How will this game be won?
This is a really tough one. The Texans are a better team when they're at their best, but we haven't seen them be at their best consistently this year. The Bills' defense is a better individual unit than anything the Texans can put out there, but offensively, Josh Allen is 25th out of 28 qualifying quarterbacks against this playoff slate of teams, 1-4 against them, averaging 14 points a game. They can't put together enough to score enough. The problem, of course, is that the Texans, when Will Fuller is out, Deshaun Watson's statistics drop dramatically, and they're
all right. Now you're starting like Frank Isola. You told us, both these teams have no chance here.
That's why I'm saying it's so hard to pick. I think I'm going to go with the Texans.
Hard. Who do you have, Sarah?
I think I'm going to go with the Texans.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Tim?
I'm going to go with Buffalo in much more clear fashion, one would hope. I just think Houston, Sarah hit on it. When they don't have Fuller, they do come down as an offensive threat. And Buffalo's got Tre'Davious White, one of the best cornerbacks, an all-pro cornerback. To deal with Hopkins, to keep him from going crazy. And the pressure Buffalo will get on Deshaun Watson, I think, will be the difference in the game. As long as Allen and Singletary and Cole Beasley and all just move the ball and get some points, don't mess it up, I think Buffalo wins.
And Yates?
I'll take the Texans, and here's why. I think that Will Fuller is actually going to show up, and you mentioned what happens regarding Watson's stats. His completion percentage gets higher, and his touchdown percentage gets higher. I don't think they can win unless they have him, and I think that they will. Overall, though, you talked about this being the most time slot ever for these two teams. It's also this matchup that's the most sort of Bills-Texans thing ever, because the Texans give up all sorts of runs and all sorts of passes, short, middle, and that's all Josh Allen can really throw. He just kind of dumps it off all the time, so they've got a chance.
Well, if you're saying the Bills' strength can really maximize against this Texans defense. Frank Isola, can I interest you in the Bills?
No, they've been a terrific story. I think the fact that it's on the road, and when you played that music and you showed the quarterback of the Texans, I thought about Howard Cosell. It's that man right there. Mm-hmm. That's the guy, because last year he did not have a good playoff. But I look at the way that he played on the road this season against New Orleans. I understand they lost the game. But how about the way that he played against Kansas City? He needs a big moment, and I think he's going to deliver on Saturday. In that time,
a good little split there. Sarah, one thing you want to add at the horn?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what J.J. Watt we get, because the Texans have not been good at putting pressure on quarterbacks, but if he's back in there, can make a couple big plays, could make a difference.
You see, Sarah, that wasn't so hard.
This wasn't that hard. You have presents. What else do you need? We'll move on. Seahawks, Eagles.
And grit.
Seahawks, Eagles. Of course, this is the game you know. The 11-5 wildcard team going on the road to a 9-7 division winner. Does any of you know how often that's happened since 2002 when we've been doing this?
10 times.
All the time.
Quite.
All twice, Clint Yates? Not even close.
8 times.
24 times. Guys, this is not an oddity. Anyone want to guess who's got the head-to-head record in that matchup?
The home team.
I'll go home.
Darius Spain, correct.
Road
Tim Kalischel, correct. Frank, you were, it's like rock, paper, scissors. You were after it, and you got it wrong. 14-10. The home team, the team that has the worst record, is winning that head-to-head. Tim, let me ask you, who would you rather be, the team with the better record or the home team in this matchup?
Definitely the home team. And you know, I know Philadelphia started the year with a lot more weapons than they have right now, but they feel like this four-game winning streak, which doesn't impress anybody else, beating the Giants twice, Washington and Dallas, they feel like it has gotten them, obviously, into the playoffs, but more than that, kind of got them back on track. And we'll see if they have more of their weapons tomorrow. We'll see if Sunday. We'll see if Zach Ertz plays. But Seattle doesn't always travel well. And Seattle's got to be feeling like they gave that game away when they're on the one-yard line and took a delay of game penalty Sunday night against San Francisco. They would have had a week off if they hadn't messed that
up. Tim says advantage home team in Philadelphia. Clinton, do you agree?
No, the reason why nobody gives them credit is because the NFC East overall had the worst aggregate record against the league. All right, you know who had the best? The NFC West. That's why I'm taking Seattle in this game. I think they're a better overall football team, and they played a tougher schedule against better people. That's why you go into a situation like that and win it on the road. I think it's going to be pretty.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, it's a joke that Seattle has to be the road team here. I'll say this, too, about the Eagles. They're all banged up, number one. And a lot of pressure is going to be on Carson Wentz because, remember, all their playoff victories have come with Nick Foles, including a Super Bowl. So here's Carson Wentz at home. I tend to take the better quarterback. That's why I think Seattle's got a bit of an edge here, even though they're on the road.
Darius Payne.
Yeah, Kalischel mentioned the way the Seahawks let down at the end of that last game, but their MO all year has been the ability to win close games, the ability for Russell Wilson to take over. And they're very familiar with this situation. If you remember a few years back, they were 7-9 hosting the defending champion Saints and beat them in that wild card game. So I think it's possible for them to go on the road. Their run game needs to be serviceable at least to be able to establish the things that Russell can do with the pass. But I think they're a better team and the Eagles' injuries are too much.
Kalischel, last word.
I think all the injuries and everything actually helps Carson Wentz. Nobody really expects this team to do anything. If they were fully ready to go and favored, there'd be a lot more pressure.
Then they should injure each other every game. That would be very helpful. Let's suss that out. Do injuries help? Yates, thumbs up or thumbs down? Spade,
never.
Come on, Kalischel. Oh, my goodness. We're taking a break right here. Buy or sell. We got another big game. Vikings Saints coming up. Any chance it lives up to this? I love this view of it, and I love this natural sound. Oh, so great. The miracle when we come back.
Chill.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Vikings Saints. Last time they met in the playoffs, you know it. Keenum to Diggs. Since then, the Saints' history of inconceivable playoff woes only got longer. I mean, flashback to last year, Nicole Roby Coleman. New Orleans is a 7.5-point favorite in this game. Clinton, what do the Saints need to do to exorcise the demons, and what can Minnesota do to pull the upset?
I think that what Minnesota's got to do is finally rely on Kirk Cousins to move from Clark Kent to Superman. This is what you paid all this money for this guy to have, is to come out. I don't think he's going to be able to do that, though. Ultimately, I think Michael Thomas is going to feast on that secondary, and the Saints are going to pull.
But I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're saying this is the Kirk Cousins moment, the Kirk Cousins game.
I think he's going to put on the superhero suit, just not make it out of the phone booth. That's what I'm saying.
Tim Kalischel, where are you on this?
You know, as far as the Saints and their demons, they now have the wonderful pass interference replay system, so we know they can rely upon that if there is trouble. That's been reliable all season. But beyond that, I just don't see the Vikings, as they're constructed today, going down to New Orleans and competing. I think this is the only blowout of the weekend.
Darius Payne?
Yeah, the only chance for the Vikings is, first of all, take advantage of that injured D-line of the Saints and really get the run going. And then for them defensively to take out Michael Thomas. Focus only on Michael Thomas. The problem with that, of course, is that you set up problems with the rest of your defense if you double team and focus on one guy too much. But they can't let him beat them. I think the Saints win this game pretty easily.
Right, guys, hold on. 2 months ago, Atlanta went into New Orleans. They sacked Breeze 6 times. They won 26-9. Can you get to him? I'm not so sure they can. But we talk about Brady running out of time. How about Drew Breeze? He's running out of chances as well. I still think the Saints are too good. I think they're the best team in the NFC, even though they're playing on Wild Card Weekend.
Who has the most pressure on them Sunday, Clinton Yates? Are you saying Kirk Cousins has more pressure than Drew Brees, who, as Frank just told us, is staring down, maybe?
Absolutely. Drew Brees has broken every record in the book and is going straight to the Hall of Fame. Kirk Cousins is overpaid and doesn't have anything to show for it. Absolutely more pressure.
Darius Bean.
The most pressure is on referee Carl Sheffers, who today, Chase Daniel told us on Golic and Wingo, has this team, the Saints team, 13-1 in the last 14 games he's officiated for them. He can turn everything around for the officials in New Orleans with a good game.
Wow.
This weekend.
Wow, you just put some pressure on him, that's for sure. We'll move on. Tim Kalishaw, what a glorious mess you have. Jason Garrett, fired, parting ways, not part of things moving forward. Are those the words we're using? Or DallasCowboys.com. Refuting, it seems, Ed Werder's ESPN report of Garrett not being in the plans moving forward. No official news to report regarding Garrett's job status. Tim, what's going on?
As Jerry Jones has told us many times, and you've heard him say it, he is comfortable with ambiguity, and he is taking it to a new level this week. A lot of us who've been around here thought it would take a couple of days. Like, it's not going to happen Monday, maybe Tuesday afternoon. We didn't think we'd be sitting here on Friday with other teams hiring coaches, even if those are guys the Cowboys don't want, for Jerry to still not have even made, or the Cowboys not to made any kind of announcement.
Does that make you think it's not going to happen, Tim?
No. It's going to happen. It makes me think they know who they're going to get.
Oh, okay.
I just can't
Sarah Spain,
tell
how do you
who
read
they're
this?
Going to get.
Yeah, this isn't good for either side because Jason Garrett can't go out looking for the openings and they can't try to get the interviews with coaches before they sign somewhere else. That being said, it's not surprising. This is exactly like the entire season. The season began with Jerry Jones pretending not to hear a question about what Jason Garrett needs to do to keep his job, right? He's left him twisting in the wind, undermining him at every turn all season long, still tied to him by the long-term nature of their relationship. This is just a continuation of all that. We shouldn't be surprised.
All right, guys, Tola.
I think this is Jerry Jones telling the pushy media like Tim Kalishaw in Dallas and the fans, I'm going to do everything at my pace. I think that Jason Garrett's going to be out. And I already think he knows who he wants to identify as his head coach. He's keeping that all a secret as well.
I think he doesn't want to fire his friend before his contract ends. And I think he also knows that the New York Giants are a knocking. And if he can keep Garrett away from that team, he probably will if he does.
Buy or sell three, NFL All-Pro reveal. You ready? There were two unanimous selections. Anyone want to guess? Not Lamar Jackson. Michael Thomas and Stephon Gilmore were unanimous. Lamar Jackson, 47 of the 50 votes. Russell Wilson got 3. And then look at this. Christian McCaffrey, all pro at 2 positions, running back and flex. Frank Isola, what do you want to buy? What do you want to sell from the all pro?
You know what? I'm going to buy that Russell Wilson got some of those votes. I mean, everyone talked about him as being a potential MVP. Ken, I don't have a problem. I mean, Lamar Jackson got most of the votes. I don't have a problem that maybe some people on the West Coast said Russell Wilson deserves it as well.
Glenn Yates?
Some people on the West Coast said that Christian McCaffrey was the most valuable player who's not a quarterback in the league. That he
you said it, Clinton.
So I have a lot. I'm buying McCaffrey big time. I still believe that to be true.
Yeah. Yeah,
technically, I think you were in Washington when you said it, so you weren't on the West Coast. Tim Kalishaw, how about you?
I'm selling the idea of Christian McCaffrey getting 2 positions. He doesn't need them. He's happy being the running back. Once somebody is named the running back, go to the number 2 guy at the flex position. He just got the votes at flex from the people who voted for Derrick Henry at running back.
Darius Bean.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing to me is that Lamar Jackson is the 7th quarterback to be first-team All-Pro in the last 7 years, which means we've had a different one every single year, even though it's felt like there's 2 or 3 guys dominating. And 6 of those 7 have gone on to win the NFL MVP, but nobody since Kurt Warner in 99 has been first-team All-Pro QB and gone on to win the Super Bowl.
What is happening right now? Sarah Spain, I mean, that was a deluge of information that news I can use. Absolutely.
I said that
Kalishaw, self-injury today, which is a good thing. Injuries are good things for Kalishaw. Frank Isola, nice little comeback, not enough.
Clinton Yates, Sarah Spain. Spain goes 49. High score of 2020. You're having a great year. Showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
All right, here we go. Clinton Yates, Sarah Spain, good luck in the showdown. NBA All-Star voting. Here's the first reveal. Giannis, Trae Young, leading vote-getters in the East, and LeBron, and the all-time leading vote-getter in this first reveal, Luka Doncic, in the West. A bit further down, though, maybe in striking distance to make the team. Taco Fall is sixth in big men in the East. Alex Caruso, eighth in guards in the West. Clinton, where do you come down on that? Fall and Caruso getting the votes.
I love every single part of this. Caruso is a big fan favorite out here. Some people want him in the dunk contest. But as far as Taco Fall goes, look, two people in the All-Star voting have more points than minutes this year. It's him and James Harden. You know how many minutes Taco has?
11.
One sit.
11 minutes, yes.
Listen, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. There's a lot of parts of the All-Star weekend that are fun for fans, but we use All-Star appearances to decide whether people make Hall of Fames. This should be the best of the league, and they should be honored by being in this if they deserve it.
Womp, womp. Boy, Clinton Yates. Showdown 2, Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Is that the gator that slays the taxes or the taxes that slays the gator? Tennessee, an incredible comeback here. And I want to know what spawned the comeback. Was it that Tennessee won it, that Indiana blew it, or that Godsly Octopus Goodell Rocky Top, woo, turned the tide? Sarah, what's your translation on the fan side there?
Yeah, it's hard to read, but I think it says Woody Page is an alumnus. We should have brought a chalkboard. I think that's what it says.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I was thinking. Woodrow, you needed to climb in here. But yes, God bless Rocky Top and God bless Indiana for actually making that a game because the Gator Bowl has been completely irrelevant. Hi, Woodrow.
How about Tennessee winning a bowl game after the way that you're used? It looked like Godspeed Octopus, which sounds like something Sean Connery would say as James Bond. There you go, Clinton Yates. Take a W.
I would like to point out that LaMelo Ball, one of the Ball's children who a lot of people consider to be the most immature and reckless of them all, has done a good deed this week. He plays in Australia. The bushfires that have affected that country are something that are tragic and terrible, and we've all seen them on TV. Nick Kyrgios is a tennis player. He's put together a charity in order to try to help victims of it. LaMelo Ball said he will donate a month of his salary to said cause. The kids can turn out all right as long as you give them a chance to grow. Remember that. The kid might be in the NBA soon, and you want to remember what he's done for other people.
Well done, Clinton, especially putting a spotlight on that. Kalachuk, can you give me a better Connery? I blew it. Gold Street, Octopus. Gold Street. 71M.